Welcome to About Sex. This is a show where we talk about everything from sex to more sex. With me, joining me today is Josh. Hey, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Don't say hi.
Oh, okay. Hi, Angela.
So, anyhow, today we would like to talk about taboo as a sexual topic. So there's a lot of couples who are...
It's more about taboo and... What was the topic?
Well, how to safely and respectfully introduce taboo
right.
into your relationship. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, what I wanted to kind of cover just real briefly is that a lot of what makes sex hot for people is taboo. Things that are kind of naughty.
Oh, no, I'm not supposed to do that.
Yeah, you're not supposed
to.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, snap. It's bad, right?
Oh,
but, like, I think that people think that, like, sometimes when they think of a sexual taboo topic, then they kind of freak out instead of just exploring it in a safe way.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
As long as everybody's consenting adults, whatever you want to do, do it.
Do whatever you want.
Do whatever.
Well, here are a few taboo topics that are coming up for me in my therapy. One is actually anal sex, that some people mm-hmm. would like to try that out, but it's kind of taboo to think about the mm-hmm. anus.
Yeah, because you poop from there.
Yeah, that's the part. Yes, that is the part that's taboo.
Yeah, it's a dirty area, so well, a lot of people don't see it as a sexual area.
Some people do, some people don't.
No, some people don't, because...
That is true.
There's a taboo around poop.
Absolutely. And to take that further, you know, like there are people who want to do, what are they, like scat stuff?
No, we're not.
Most people don't want to do that,
that's
but it is a taboo thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, gross, right?
But that's what gets them off. Okay.
All right. Yes, well, what are some safe ways to introduce things like that?
Well, you were talking about anal specifically. So what are safe ways to introduce that? Your partner,
well,
like, or bring it up any taboo topic to your partner. How would you bring it up? Start, you know, saying, "Hey, you know your butt. What about if we?" And I hear a lot of guys they're always trying to talk their wives into it.
Uh huh. Everybody else is doing it.
Everybody else is doing it. And my friend Bill did it. And she's still alive.
You know the. He is still alive.
She didn't poop right for a week.
Well, you know, I feel like, I feel like people need to be careful when it comes to trying anything taboo. You got to mm-hmm. spend some time researching it. I really do. And also, there's like a lot of ways that you can research.
Oh, trust me, guys research the crap.
Through porn, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I don't necessarily think porn is the only way you should be researching something like that. Porn... Because they cut off certain pieces, right?
Oh, so don't cut it off.
No, like...
That's
okay.
painful.
So if you've ever watched a porn episode where there's anal sex...
parts.
They're
like,
censoring the part where they're getting ready.
They'll cut from, hey, we're making out, to all of a sudden, he's just going right in.
Exactly.
But the reality is, what they don't show is them kind of lubing it up, being a little gentle with it at the mm-hmm. start. And
spending some time loosening up the
ready
muscles.
Ready to go.
Getting it comfortable.
And then even when they first get in there, they have to go slow and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but,
you don't just go straight for
But in the adult films, they'll just mm-hmm. go right to it and go, done.
And that's how it goes.
And then if a guy tries that on his wife, she's not going to be too happy.
No, it's going to feel very painful, very uncomfortable. You won't get to do it again ever.
So you want to first research about the realities of something like that. Something that can be painful, a mm-hmm. taboo like that especially.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of, you know, I think porn's a good place to look for where there are taboos. One that I've seen a lot in porn is actually kind of like it's kind of like a rape sort of scenario where they're like, but it's not really like that. I want to talk about this for real. No, it's okay. It's not a real rape fantasy.
Okay.
What it is it's more of a
power. I was
about to say,
you really want to talk about that?
No, but this is a taboo that's been covered enough that I think it's important for people to know about.
Okay, so it's more of the submissive domination
thing.
It's more
of a submission dominatrix
like,
type thing.
You're like, oh yes. No, don't hurt me.
It's a play. Yeah. It's not, play. There's nobody really at all like non-consensually having sex,
yes.
But sometimes couples will have a version of
no, I don't want you
to stop, but then of course
right.
they're already consenting, they've
right.
already talked about
right.
it, there's full control
and they have a safe word. That's
and they have a safe word. And so, I mean, that's a piece of taboo that's probably really important,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for a taboo is to have a safe word. And yeah. I actually saw, I don't know who it was or what show I was watching, but they had a safe word set up where it was like, for green,
mm-hmm.
keep going. So that yep. means like if somebody's green like, light. Oh, no, don't hurt me. But then they say, oh, really, you want me to stop? And they're like,
it's green, like
green light, keep
you know.
Going. Just have fun.
Yeah.
But yellow, that means slow down. Like, I still enjoy it.
This
but
is fun. I don't
want to
lose
being
the scene.
Lower the intensity.
Yeah, yeah.
Or red means you full stop.
No,
get out.
This isn't working out.
Not happy.
Get out.
Get.
And I think that would be helpful with something that's kind of like a power fantasy like
mm-hmm.
that where you're like, no, don't stop. Because you're saying stop, don't, things like that. But if you have something like red light, yellow light, green light, then it's like, oh, okay, this is just the
right.
role play.
Right.
But basically what that is a role play.
Yeah.
And a lot of people like kind of taboo role plays,
mm-hmm.
like a teacher student or like...
Or like the episode of The Simpsons where they did role playing and Homer Simpson played the mistress lover.
Yeah, the mister.
For Marge. And he showed up and he was, you know, being very sensual with
very
her.
Suave.
But then he said, oh no, your husband's home. And I think he went out the window.
Uh-huh.
And then he came around to the front door and he's like, who's in my house?
He came back as himself.
He came back as Homer. He's like, who is this? Who has been in here with my wife? I will kill you. I will find you and string you up. And it was like, and
Marge
was like, of course, I don't think we're supposed to be doing it like this, homie.
That was the greatest scene ever.
That shows you how role play can be fun
uh-huh.
and silly. Because the reality
yeah.
is you got to also be silly. It can't just be serious. Like
yes.
a lot of adult films and even like on just television when they show people doing like mm-hmm. role playing and all that, they're very serious. But I got to say,
mm-hmm.
if you come in with a weird hat on during sex, I'm going to laugh. It doesn't matter if it's supposed to be sexy or scary. You know, it's just,
I think Hollywood makes it seem a little bit unrealistic. And real
they
marriages,
censor it too. Yeah.
In real marriages, people have a little bit of that playfulness that you're talking
mm-hmm.
about, and a little bit of seriousness. You may even notice it in
maybe
your sex
not everybody.
Life.
Maybe somebody they're just angry and then they just and then they finish and roll over.
No, here's an example.
And they're
of
happily
it.
Married.
Like you might start laughing and joking with each other, but there's a part even just in regular vanilla sex where you kind of get serious and you're like, I call it determined. You're like, okay, it's time to get to the orgasm.
Yeah,
you get into it.
Yeah.
But
you
if something crazy happens, like somebody queefs, perhaps you might laugh
so
in that moment.
For our listeners, what is a queef, Angela?
Like, every hole has the ability to fart to some degree.
Yeah.
And
to
a
release
vagina is
air.
A hole that,
right.
like, sometimes when you're having sex,
it
releases
can push air,
air
in and pull it out.
And
yeah.
it's a vagina fart is basically a queef.
Sounds fun.
And most people are going to, well, I don't know. Some people might be too insecure and they might just not notice that it even happened. Intentionally not notice.
There's
going to
be sounds going on.
There's
going
to be sounds.
That's the
people
other thing that
them.
you don't hear a lot is there's lots of weird sounds. The bed is creaking. You
oh,
have
yeah.
the going on down there and you have, yeah,
there's a
and
lot
you,
of stuff
you have the
going
baby
on.
In the other room going, ma'am, ma'am. You're like, it's your turn. Fine, get off me.
Yeah, well, a lot of this, you know, it's funny though, but that's taboo too. Like people don't like to talk about the noises and the sounds
mm-hmm.
that sometimes that are really natural that don't sound very beautiful like you'll hear in Hollywood or in porn.
Right.
Porn makes it sound wonderful, but in real life, it sounds kind of nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyhow, those are some of the things that I know that are kind of taboo.
So we went over how you can be respectful, which means you have like a red light, green light system.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's important not to pressure somebody to do something
oh,
they're
yeah.
not comfortable with. Like if you want to do, let's go back to the golden boy, anal. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to convince your wife to do anal and she's not for it, you can try to convince her, but really you don't want her to not be into it. Because if she's not,
no.
you're just getting an angry anal. And that's no fun for anybody.
You don't want to coerce anybody
yeah.
in any sexual act.
So, and you can bug them about it and keep the topic on their mind and even try to convince them. But if they're not into it, move on. Because
well,
it's not that.
Hard no's.
It's really, you can find many other ways to be happy and have fun.
Plenty of people will never, ever try anal, and that's perfectly fine. That doesn't mean it's not an opportunity or an option for some people. You just got to see what you're open to.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, like, the role-playing thing is something that quite a few people do that's kind of taboo. You mentioned that Homer and Marge thing was like an affair, pretending you're having an affair. Mm. But really, it's just you. Or there was a movie, When a Man Loves a Woman, where they pretended they were meeting for the first time. And
yeah, they
really,
the
they've been and they've been married the whole time.
Another
taboo is like taking pictures or videos. We should talk about respectfulness on this.
So, rule number one: do not post them online.
Absolutely not, unless you guys have talked about it beforehand. Because there are couples who do that to kind of spice things up, but they'll cut off the head.
Rule number two: if you're not married, don't let them take a photo.
Yeah,
because you. Most of the people I've dated in my life, I didn't end up marrying. And most people, most of the dates they're on, they don't end up marrying that person. They end up marrying one, maybe two or three people.
We've got to be respectful because
so
there are people who've been long-term relationships
who
don't get married or who don't believe in marriage. But like,
sure.
You should at least know that you're going to be committed to them for a while.
Sure. But everybody can get married now. So
I know, but there's even people who like are against the institution of marriage.
Sure, and they can be against institutions all they want. I don't care. They're probably not going to take photos.
But you don't know.
You never know. So don't protect yourself and protect your partner. Don't post it online. Come on. That's not cool. Because if somebody wants to have naked photos online, they'll post it themselves.
Keep it password protected somewhere. You know, like the
so
thing is, if you have kids, you don't want your kids to be able to get in there
and
see
most,
things.
Most of us have a cell phone, and that's how we take photos and videos. We have entire video studios in our pockets, every single one of us.
Of course.
When you do that, there are apps that will protect your
data. Josh is our IT
guy.
Are there any good apps?
So just looking on the store real quick, there's something called Vaulty.
Oh, okay.
And with that app, you can take a photo, take a video, and you store it through Vaulty, and that makes it encrypted.
Oh, okay.
With an encrypted file. The only way to open it is to open up the app itself.
Encrypted just means very safe. For those of you who are IT challenged.
Yeah. This is what it really is. It makes it so that nobody can open the file by just looking at your phone. They have to have a password to open the encrypted file.
Okay.
It makes it invisible to everybody else.
And I think that that's a good way to protect it from, like, kids or even
friends
who randomly walk into your phone.
There's actually a funny story about that. When we were first married, this is before, really, apps and all that existed, we had a camera, a digital camera, and I took a photo of my wife, and it wasn't anything too
terrible,
racy.
But it was
like,
a little
she
racy.
She had her shirt off, and she was covering.
It was covered, but it was racy enough.
It was racy enough, but it's a personal photo. I wasn't going to show anybody. Skip to a couple weeks later, we had a friend visit, and he's like, oh, you got photos. Oh, I'll look through these. And he just kept flipping, and I realized at the last second, oh, there's a photo on there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, Josh, what's this?
And I was like, oh, I can't believe he saw that. So you got to protect them, keep it safe. And, you know, like the part that's kind of sexy about that couples like is that you have this video or these pictures you can go back to and look at that, make it really dynamite.
Yeah, especially because you're going to get old. And you want to keep.
You will, too.
You want to keep those memories alive. Mm-hmm. Every part of her body, because you love her so much.
That's super sweet. Well, on that note, I think we could switch over because I want to have some time to go on to our second topic. I've been thinking a lot about sex before marriage, because we live in the Bible Belt in St. Louis, and there's a big group of people who are very big on like waiting till marriage, and I'm kind of curious what you think about sex before marriage. Agree, disagree, somewhere in the middle?
Do it.
Do it.
Like
tell
I
me
say,
why.
As long as you're consenting adults and you're both into it, do it. The reality is, I don't think sex is a toy. I don't think it should just be thrown around like a baseball to anybody who walks into the room.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
I think
you
have to be mature about it. Which means, for me, this is my own personal beliefs, is that I won't have sex with just anyone. I want to be in a relationship and have built a commitment of some sort, even just dating, before I go to that step. I want to know the person. I don't want to do it on a first date or a second date. Like, yeah.
I think it's
We knew each other for almost 4 months, 5 months before we had sex.
Mm-hmm. So that's true.
We really knew each other very well.
Well, and I don't think that it's a bad thing if people want to have sex, like, sure, with a few partners. I personally, as a sex therapist, often have seen people who've never really had a chance to have sex with other people or try, mm-hmm, different things. Or they waited till marriage and then it turned out their partner wasn't, mm-hmm, that great in bed. Mm-hmm. And once you've committed, it's really hard to back out of that.
You
want
to try the milk before you buy the cow, really.
I don't know. I think that sometimes it's worth it to sow your wild oats a little bit and see what's out, sure, there so that you can be happy about the commitment that you're making.
Here's why I actually advocate for having sex before marriage. That is an important thing. You want to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Whether they're at the same level as you.
If they're sexually repressed.
If they want to have sex regularly, or are they the kind of person who will have it once a month and then never talk to you.
And that's a really tough thing to do. Like, say you were the person who wanted to have sex every day, but you didn't know your partner only wanted to have sex once a month. Now you're, I mean, like, what do you do? Lots of masturbation, really.
And affairs happen.
That is...
Because you have to have a similar sex drive. The reality, yeah, is if you don't, one person's not going to be too happy about it. But the other reason is when... Here's a good metaphor. When you first rode a bike, were you good at it?
No, never.
Or did you fall on your face and get dirt on your arms and really just end up all messy? Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing pretty much happens with most people the first time they have sex. Is you just fall down and you get things on your arms and you get all messy. Same exact thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you're walking out of there not too happy about it.
Well, and it's not to say that people can't grow together, though. I will say that I think it's good for people to have at least talked about sex and be comfortable enough about sex that even if they were virgins before marriage, then they can at least talk through and try new things. Mm-hmm. The problem I'll often see is people who just can't even talk about it.
They can't
talk. So they've never had sex. They don't know how to talk. They feel uncomfortable with the topic. And now they just throw them in the bedroom. See if this works.
Yeah,
and it doesn't seem to.
And that is something I don't like about the current religious viewpoint on sex. Like, why does your religion care at all who I'm having sex with, when I'm having sex with them? At all. And it just doesn't make sense to me. I think they should keep religion out of the bedroom.
I sometimes think about this contextually. Mm-hmm. And so I could imagine, like, way back when some of these religions got started,
2000 years ago,
I think it would have been safer to wait until marriage to have sex because, one, we didn't have things like condoms. Or if we did, they were very
STDs.
Rudimentary.
You didn't have birth control at all.
If you got pregnant outside of marriage, it would have been incredibly unsafe. And you would have been, like, cast out in some cultures.
Well, that's because of the religion.
Sure. I'm trying to give it the benefit of the doubt. And I think that it makes sense in that historical perspective. Mm-hmm. But now that we have condoms and birth control, I think... it's reasonable for people to want to try to have sex and enjoy themselves.
So you're saying maybe we should have a modern rule book for morality and not deal with 2,000-year-old documents.
Well, I truly value people's beliefs, and I will respect them
too,
regardless of where they come from.
I do, too, as long as they don't try to tell me, my family, or my kids what to do. That's the reality. I have very religious friends, and I love them very much.
Mm-hmm.
But they ain't going to tell me what to do with my...
That's a good note to stop. Thank you for joining me. If you want to learn more, visit my website at www.therapistinst.com. Goodbye,
I'm Josh,
everybody.
Bye.
I'm Angela.